we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Virtual credit card skimmers hidden in social media sharing icons. Google fires researcher for criticizing company AI policy. A flaw in iOS allowed attackers to control your iPhone via Wi-Fi. And secrecy surrounds a top Canadian cybersecurity intelligence officer who was caught spying for China. Almost ran out of music on that last one, but here we are, Mark Jeftovic, with another episode of Access of Easy Weekly Digest. This is number 175. The show notes for this week's edition would be at accessofeasy.com/175. We're recording this on December 7th, and it'll probably be December 8th before this hits the various feeds that you listen to. Last week's quote was, "The illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn." That was Alvin Toffler, the author of the groundbreaking book Future Shock. The winner was Mark Zed. And we finally fixed the issue that made it impossible for you to leave your answer to the quote contest. We didn't have comments enabled on a lot of these posts. I was wondering why we didn't have any winners for so many weeks, but that's fixed now. If you go there to the show notes, you'll be able to answer this week's quote contest, which is, "The persistent trick of modern politics that appears to fool us repeatedly is to disguise economic and political interests as cultural movements." You know the routine, don't search it up online, and the first person who does get the source of that quote to the show notes page is going to get their next domain or web hosting renewal on us. Secrecy around top Canadian cybersecurity intelligence officer caught spying for China. So last September, we ran a short, kind of cryptic item in Access of Easy number 113 that the top civilian cybersecurity expert working for the RCMP had been arrested and taken into custody for illegally sharing government secrets. That's all we knew at the time. And I said I would keep an eye on it. I haven't heard anything since until a few days ago. Diane Francis wrote a detailed piece for the Financial Post, and we find out that the official in question is Cameron Ortis, who grew up in British Columbia. He speaks Mandarin, and he rose to become the, quote, "Director General of the RCMP's National Intelligence Coordination Center, NICC, held high-level security clearance and was the highest-ranking civilian on the force," end quote. So Ortis has remained in custody since his arrest last September, and all court records pertaining to the case are sealed. And it seems like here in Canada, there's a bit of a media blackout on it, but foreign reports are covering the story. So there's one in the American Military News that we link to on the show notes page that described it as, "China has infiltrated this country's highest intelligence agencies and not for the first time." And it's being described as so severe that it compromises Canada's position with the so-called Five Eyes Global Intelligence and Surveillance Cartel. Diane Francis, in case you recognize the name, she's a dual U.S.-Canadian citizen and the author of numerous books, including Who Owns Canada Now? And Merger of the Century, which advocates a full political union between Canada and the U.S. S&P to launch cryptocurrency indexes in 2021 as Neil Ferguson endorses Bitcoin. So the crypto space is coming back to life rather dramatically as the Bitcoin price bumps up against the all-time high around $20,000. You might as well call it. It was a little short. I think 19.6 is the official all-time high print. And then that was in 2017. And then over the last week or so, it did a couple of transactions around 1907, 1908, I think. Anyway, this time it looks like big institutional money managers are warming up to the idea that Bitcoin and Ethereum and so forth are here to stay and maybe worth considering having some exposure to it. Ascent of Money author and historian Neil Ferguson wrote a book by that same title. It outlines the evolution of money and currencies over the past bunch of centuries. He wrote an op-ed for Bloomberg outlining why he thinks Bitcoin will be the big winner of the monetary evolution catalyzed by the COVID pandemic. Quote, "We are living through a monetary revolution so multifaceted that few of us comprehend its full extent. The technological transformation of the internet is driving this revolution. The pandemic of 2020 has accelerated it. To illustrate the extent of our confusion, consider the divergent performance of three forms of money this year: the US dollar, gold, and Bitcoin." End quote. He made the comparison of Bitcoin to digital gold, given that it has a lot of the same characteristics, like it's inelastic and it's inflation-proof, and he's not alone. His piece cites that Paul Tudor Jones and Stanley Druckenmiller have begun to allocate funds to it, and even Ray Dalio has expressed more open-mindedness to it. So Ray has been a skeptic in the past, but he opined recently that maybe there's something he's missing about all this. So part of this, the S&P Group plans to launch a cryptocurrency index or multiple indexes over the course of 2021. A spokesman for the company told Reuters News that they feel the cryptocurrency space has reached the point of maturity where institutional level pricing and benchmark data is now needed. The company's also been busily hiring blockchain engineers lately. I think where Ferguson might go a little astray in that column is when he talks about Bitcoin surpassing gold and all this, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. I'm seeing a lot of gold versus Bitcoin threads and podcasts and interviews lately, and so I wrote up a piece on the weekend about this, that I don't think gold versus Bitcoin is the right way to look at this. I think it's gold and Bitcoin. They are different tools to fix the same problem, and I think overlooking one in favor of the other can lead to some blind spots. So I link to that. That's over on my Out of the Cave blog as well. Google fires researcher for criticizing company and AI bias. So Timnit Gebru was the co-head of Google's ethical AI team and a frequent critic of the tech industry in general. She was fired by the company apparently after she circulated an internal email accusing the company of squelching her research and coming up short in matters of equality and diversity. She's also Black, and part of her stance around AI is that she objects to its use within law enforcement because it discriminates against darker-skinned people. Of course, AI is a cornerstone of Google's future strategy, and her opinion on these matters would be somewhat dissonant with the corporate view. Google, for their part, claims her research lacked rigor and tried to frame her departure as a resignation. But as far as I can tell, this is the second time Google has fired somebody for doing exactly what is in their code of conduct, which literally says if you see something that you think isn't right, speak up. And the other person, of course, was James DeMore. So also, we've mentioned in Axis of Easy number 167 that there are other scientists who have concerns around AI used in, quote, predictive policing, end quote, that it tends to be biased, tends to get darker skinned faces wrong when identifying them or misidentifying them, and otherwise discriminates against darker skinned people. Virtual credit card skimmers hidden in social media sharing icons. So the Magecart credit card skimmer malware just seems to never go away. This is malicious JavaScript that hackers inject into vulnerable Magento servers, and it snarfs the credit card info from online order forms. And now hackers are concealing the code in plain sight, creating fake social media sharing icons for Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. This new variation was discovered by the SANSEC threat research team. They say it's not the first time that this has been concealed within images, but it is the first time it's been done within valid images via steganography, which is a cryptographic technique for concealing data within an image that is undetectable to the human eye. And apparently it makes it undetectable by malware scanners as well. ransomware this week. So again, another week with a lot of ransomware attacks this week, including Vancouver Transit hit by the Gregor strain. An Israeli insurance company called Sherbet has had a customer data breach stolen by a threat actor calling itself Black Shadow. The hackers are demanding a ransom in order not to leak the details. Security researchers are warning that they'll probably leak the data anyway. Eland, an online retail chain, looks to have been hit by Klopp ransomware to the tune of 2 million credit card numbers over a period of a year. There's another one that was supposed to be in here and I forgot it. It was a healthcare provider. I won't even guess at the name. I think I remember it, but unless I know exactly what I'm talking about, I should just not mention the name. DeepMind solves 50-year-old molecular folding problem and update on EasyDNS Fold at Home team. So the DeepMind AI suite, which has previously won games of chess and Go against grandmasters and world champions, has now solved a molecular folding issue which has baffled researchers for 50 years. DeepMind's AlphaFold AI made a breakthrough in figuring out how proteins achieve their three-dimensional structure. I had no idea what that meant, but there's a two-minute explainer video in the article that we linked to in the show notes page that goes a long way towards helping you get a better handle on it. So it has ramifications beyond health, and it may enable humanity to do things in the future like break down plastics using proteins. And on that note, the EasyDNS Fold at Home team has been rocking it. That's where readers like you have pooled excess GPU and CPU hash power together to pitch in on the global project to do protein folding calculations for various diseases. And of course, this year the focus was on COVID-19. So get this, we're in 271st place out of over 250,000 teams. Our overall score is 3,129,842,670 across 57,459 work units. That was as of yesterday. Our top scorers over 1 million credits are Brewjack, Jonathan Jusick, Tim F, GDF, JB Martin 6, Mug Ruth, Henry Alapajari, Actizen John, Bill Pye, Zero Derivative, DL/LD, Blitherman, C-Trills, OPN, Zero Tau, MacMan, Bill Pye, Mike 905, Phyllis Alardis, Navman 911, TechCA. Oh, I'm sorry, that's TrekCA. Thanks so much to all of you and to everybody participating on the team and the Fold at Home project in general. If you want to get on the EasyDNS team, go to the Fold at Home main page, which we link to in the show notes. You go there, you download your client, set it up, and you join team 248548. I really want to get into the top 100 teams. I think that would be great for the community. Hackers targeting COVID-19 vaccine supply chain. So on the flip side of this, some people are putting their efforts to counterproductive uses. Reports started coming in last week of a mysterious phishing campaign directed against various organizations and companies that will comprise the so-called cold chain of COVID-19 vaccine distribution. It's called that because a lot of these anticipated vaccines require sub-zero storage temperatures, like minus 80 degrees Celsius, so an entire supply chain has to be built to facilitate this. Quote, the attacks consisted of spear phishing emails seeking to collect credentials for a target's internal email and applications. Targets of the attacks included a wide variety of companies, sectors, and government organizations. This included the European Commission's Directorate General for Taxation and Customs Union, an organization that monitors the movement of products across borders, including medical supplies. End quote. IBM's X-Force security analysts are positing that this actually looks like the work of a nation-state threat actor, and Interpol has issued an alert on the matter last week. Flaw in iOS allowed attackers to control your iPhone via Wi-Fi. So Ian Beer, a Google Project Zero researcher, found an iOS exploit that can completely take over control of your iPhone remotely. He was isolating at home under the first COVID lockdown, messing around with gear, and he discovered a flaw that, quote, allowed an attacker within Wi-Fi range to view all an iPhone's photos and emails and copy all private messages from Messages, WhatsApp, Signal, and so on in real time, end quote. The flaw exploited a bug in Apple's AWDL wireless protocol, and it was fixed as of iOS 13.5. So make sure you're running at least that on your iOS devices. Google Play Store app data leakage. So over on the Google side, researchers from Palo Alto Labs Unit 42 cybersecurity unit have found a data leak issue that affects some apps within the Google Play Store, including Baidu's search box and Baidu Maps, which have been downloaded over 6 million times. The leaked data made users trackable potentially over their lifetime. Type of data that typically gets leaked in these types of circumstances include phone model, screen resolution, phone MAC address, carrier, telecom provider, what kind of network, Android ID, IMSI, and IMIE. And on the Access of Easy Salon last week, number 33, Charles was back into the swing of things, and we talked about Ethereum 2 and how it could be the scaffolding of the network state, the benevolent kind of network state that we hope will unfold, not the maniacally tyrannical ones that we fear will unfold. So check it out. It's in the show notes. The show notes this week are at accesseasy.com/175. And as per usual, stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane, and we will see you all next week.
Rich your friend.